Hare Krishna.
So please let me know when I can begin. This is Shami Krishidas. Please accept my obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas.
Yes, Prabhuji, I think we can start. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
yes,
Prabhuji.
Hare
Krishna. Sorry for the interruption. I'd just like to give a brief introduction about Great Swami Krishi Prabhu. His Great Swami Krishi Prabhu is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He's a doctor by profession, and he has helped a lot of devotees, and throughout his career he has been serving devotees. He was also the temple president in Tovaka Temple for 15 to 16 years, and Prabhuji is now traveling and preaching, and he did a lot of devotional services, out of which he donated the deities of Philadelphia Temple. He has served in many ISKCON centers. So Prabhuji likes to preach in the villages of India, and he has made a project called Little Temples, and 3,000 such ready-made altars with deities are available to be given to villages where we can start preaching. Prabhuji is now initiating Guru in ISKCON. So let's all offer our humble obeisances to Prabhuji. And thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving us your valuable time and association. Prabhuji reads widely all the literatures, and his lectures are deep in philosophy, and he's giving us the essence. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. You can take over.
Thank you for giving me your wonderful association of Vaishnavas, and also studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So I appreciate it, everyone. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpataru bhesya krapa sindhu bhevacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prishtaya bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we'll be reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 1, Text Number 6. Tam kamaya nam bhagavan vaha yajusham patihi tustayam tosham apanno janayad dvadashat majan. The lord of the ritualistic performance of Yajna later married Dakshina, who was anxious to have the personality of Godhead as her husband. And in his wife, the lord was also very much pleased to beget 12 children. Purport. An ideal husband and wife are generally called Lakshmi Narayan, to compare them to the lord and the goddess of fortune. For it is significant that Lakshmi Narayan are forever happy as husband and wife. A wife should always remain satisfied with her husband, and husband should always remain satisfied with his wife. In Chanakya Shlok, the moral instructions of Chanakya Pandit, it is said that if a wife, husband and a wife are always satisfied with one another, then the goddess of fortune automatically comes. In other words, where there is no disagreement between husband and wife, all material opulence is present and good children are born. Generally, according to Vedic civilization, the wife is trained to be satisfied in all conditions, and the husband, according to Vedic instruction, is required to please the wife with sufficient food or ornaments and clothing. Then if they are satisfied with their mutual dealings, good children are born. In this way, the entire world can become peaceful. But unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are no ideal husband and wives. Therefore, unwanted children are produced, and there is no peace and prosperity in the present day world. So, ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्। So this is narration by Maitreya Muni and he is telling to Vidur. He is narrating what how was. It starts with Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa. There was they had three daughters. Devuti, Prasuti and Akuti. So Devuti was married to Kardamuni, Prasuti was married to Daksha Prajapati, and Akuti was married to Ruchi, Brahma Varchaspu. Then this from Ruchi and Akuti were born Yajna Purush, that is Bhagwan, that is his name was Yajna, he was Supreme Personality of Godhead, like King Rishabhdev is also Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Dakshina was, so there were male and female, but male Purush was given to Ruchi Prajapati, and Dakshina is also Lakshmi Devi, so both are Lakshmi and Narayan, they both got married. You may say that they are the son and the daughter of Ruchi Prajapati, but how they could get married, but they are eternally married. Just like Swayambhu Manu, see from Brahma, from one part Brahma's right side came Swayambhu Manu and left side came Shatrupa, but they are all, both are children, but children of Lord Brahma, but they were married together. So that happens in special circumstances. So anyway, this Yajna Purush, and so it is a description that he married Lord Yajna Purush or Yajna, married Dakshina, and then they were very, very nice personality as husband and wife, and their characteristics are given here in this verse, that they were following all the regulatory principles, and they were always satisfied with one another, and Goddess of Fortune was living there, and Goddess of Fortune will live wherever there is satisfaction between wife and husband. Yatra narayastu pujyante ramante tatra devataha. Wherever there is woman is worshipped, then the devatas, they remain around that house. So there is a vas of devata, but there are certain duties. It means there is a benefit, but there are certain duties of both husband and the wife. So what are their duties? That is the main topic of this particular conversation, that there was never a disagreement between wife and husband. All the material opulence was there. The good children are born. There were 12 children of Yajna and Dakshina. They were very, very peaceful. The world was, the entire world can become peaceful in this way. So there are very, very nice characteristics are being given. So what are even some more of the characteristics of a good husband and a good wife, and how they could remain peaceful? So there is certain rules and regulation. So I will talk about, means people, they talk about Patni Dharma, but I will talk about Pati Dharma first, that what is his duties, what is, how he should behave, how he should do, so there is no problems between the married couples. So for Pati Dharma, that is duties of a, Dharma means a duty. So duties for a married man, for a woman, her lover, friend, kin, desires, wealth, life, all that she seeks are compounded in one, namely her husband. So through her husband, she could get a lover, friend, kinsman, her all the desires are fulfilled, the wealth. So all these things are done by the husband. So in the same way, man sees his properly wedded wife, thus shall you both view each other. That is the Bhavbhuti. In Bhavbhuti this is written. So as a wife's duty is to serve her husband, similarly husband's duty is to serve his wife by protecting. So his duties are to protect the wife, honor her, maintain her, and guiding her. So these are the four things. So we will discuss on these four points, that what are the duties of a wife for protecting the wife, So duty of the husband is always to protect, provide protection to his wife. Husband means one who takes charge of a girl. For pati, pati means who protects the wife. That is for life, not just for a particular time when you like. One who resolves to serve her husband, and wife means one who resolves to serve her husband throughout her life. That is the meaning of husband and wife. When a wife is in danger, the husband's duty is to give her protection at any cost. Like Lord Ramchandra, he protected his Sita Devi at the cost of like killing all the Ravanas and means his whole kutumba, his whole Rakshas family was killed just for protection of Sita Devi. Same way Pandavas, they protected Draupadi, and so whole Kauro of war, and they had to kill millions of people in that war, but that was to protect the honor of their dear wife Draupadi, because they were pulling the sari of the Draupadi, and Pandavas took a oath, or they met together and they decided that they will kill all these family members, even the family members. And so Lord helped them, Lord Krishna helped them, and they won the war. So that is how one should protect. At any cost, a wife should be protected. The protection of woman is fundamental principle of Vedic social culture. The protection of woman maintains the chastity of the society, by which we can get a good generation for peace, tranquility and progress of life. So Lord Ramchandra said that what he did and how he protected Sita Devi. When his wife Sita Devi was abducted by Ravan, the king of the demons, the Ram was living in exile in the forest with no army at his disposal. So he formed an army with the monkeys and bears, and armed with rocks and trees, and together they built a bridge of his stones across the sea to Lanka, and he waged a war against Ravan with his army of demons. So when Ravan refused to return Sita, Lord Ram defeated and killed him and was reunited with his beloved wife. So Lord Ramchandra could have produced so many number of Sitas, and but that is the due. He was very faithful, duty of a faithful husband. He not only rescued Sita from the hand of Ravan, but also killed Ravan and all the members of his family. So same thing, the Draupadi, this war. So both the Kauro Pando war and also this Ravan and Lord Ram, that fight, that is, both are very, very famous, and that was for protection, for the honor of their wives, Lord Ramchandra's wife Sita Devi and Pandava's wife Draupadi. So that is, that should be, it should be, the protection should be continuous for life. Marriage between husband and wife means that the husband must forever be responsible for the wife's well-being and protection in all cases. That does not mean now there is an agreement, he is responsible. But if there is disagreement, then I immediately flee the scene. So that is, should not be there. A woman should be given protection at every stage of life. Protection by the father in her younger days, by the husband in her youth, and by the grown-up children, sons, in the old age. That is the Vedic system according to the Manu Samhita. So that is first part of protection of the wife. It is the primary duty of the husband. The second duty of the husband is to be faithful to the wife. Ek patni vrata dharo. Lord Ramchandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other woman. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged, and qualities untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders in terms of varnashram dharma. So, although polygamy for men was acceptable in Vedic society, and especially in the kings, we read in Arjun had another wife, Ulupi, and Subhadra. So polygamy was allowed, at least in the Vedic society, and before, not now. Now it is all prohibited by the local laws also, and even one cannot maintain his just one wife. What to say about maintaining more than a wife? So Lord Ramchandra could have accepted any number of wives, but he demonstrated perfect example of faithfulness and self-control by accepting only one wife and promising her that he would never accept another. Eka patni vrat that he has taken. And his vows are never, whatever that he took a vow, he will fulfill. So Lord Ramchandra set an example by accepting only one wife at the same time. Polygamy for men is not considered to be sinful. Now the reason for that, what is given in Vedic culture, that female population is usually greater than the male population. The system, now it is becoming reverse. The system of polygamy was accepted in Vedic society to ensure protection for every woman. Srila Prabhupada was also in favor of polygamy, that he wished to see that every woman protected and taken care of. But when he saw that it is illegal in the West, then to protect the integrity and the reputation, then he did not allow anyone to marry more than one, although he was in favor of that, that he has written different letters that Srila Prabhupada wrote. Every person must get married. Even woman especially must get married. If the woman outnumber the man, some men can accept more than one wife. In that way, there will be no prostitution in society. If men marry more than one wife, illicit sex will be stopped. It is more honorable for a man to marry two wives and take care of both of them than to marry one wife and commit adultery with another woman, or to abandon one wife and marry another. So rather than doing that way, then he can marry two wives if it is allowed by legal process. So within a polygamous marriage, a man is expected to be equally faithful to both or all of his wives. As a chaste wife concerns herself with the pleasure of her husband, similarly a faithful husband is concerned about the happiness of his wife. In that family where the husband is pleased with his wife and the wife with her husband, happiness will be lasting. And even the goddess of fortune lives there in the house where both are in a happy way, they are living centered around Krishna. A chaste wife respects her husband as a servant of God. In the same way, a faithful husband respects his wife as a servant of the Lord. So both are respect, and the woman is also addressed as a Devi. And the husband is addressed not by the name, but they are addressed by Swami or the Lord. Women is generally are unable to speculate like philosophers, and they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord. So this way they are surrendered to the Lord more easily than a man, and thus they offer obeisances without reservation. Man is become, he is not as humble as cannot submit himself to the Supreme Lord. That's why they become stronger devotees more easily, because Krishna likes humility. So Kardam Muni wanted to have a wife like his disposition, because a wife is needed to assist in the spiritual and material advancement. So wife yields the fulfillment of all desires in religion, dharma, artha, kaam, everything is fulfilled by the wife. So it is necessary. The many homas and different yajnas, they could not be fulfilled without a wife being present if they are married. So those who chant the holy name of the Lord develop a mood of humility and offer respect to each other. So which is, if wife is submissive, then she could be humble like Tranadapi Sunichena. It is more easy. And if the husband is pleased with his wife, then he will also become humble. So a wife is addressed as Devi, as I said, and the husband should be addressed as the Lord or the Swami. A cultured man treats all other women except for his wife as mothers. Matravat, that is what Chanakya Pandit Prabhupada was referring in the purport. Matravat, paradareshu, paradraveshu, lostavat, atmavat, sarvabhuteshu, ya pashyati sa pandita. So if one considers another's wife as his mother, another's possession, paradraveshu, draveshu means wealth, is lost about lump of dirt, and atmavat sarvabhuteshu, one who treats all other living beings as he would treat himself, atmavat sarvabhuteshu ya pashyati, one who sees this, then he is considered a learned or a pandit. Ya pashyati sa pandita. So this is the second part. That first that we read that he should protect his wife. Then second is to be faithful to his wife. So that is second part. The third is that the duty of the third duty is to maintain the wife and children. Means a faithful husband takes care of the wife with honor and provides her with nice clothes, ornaments, nice house and children also. So that is the duty of the husband. A husband's responsibility is to maintain the wife and children with the necessities of life. We cannot imitate, like Prabhupada is writing, Krishna, neither can you marry 16,000 women, but you can marry in Vedic society that you can marry more than one wife. A man is allowed, if he is able to marry more than one wife, to have more than one wife does not mean sense enjoyment. The wife must be maintained very respectfully and to serve Krishna. Krishna should be the center of all the household life and duties. And while woman's sexual appetite is greater than men's, their lusty desire is not necessarily consciously focused on sex, but is typically sublimated and diffused in various directions. A woman can be satisfied by being provided with children, material facility such as nice house, good food, nice clothes, nice ornaments. When wife has all her desires satisfied, then both husband and wife can peacefully engage in religious activity and in serving the Lord. So that was the third part. And then the fourth duty of the husband is to be a servant of God. He must be a devotee. Between the husband and wife, one person is sufficient to execute the devotional service. Because of their good relationship, both of them will enjoy the result. Therefore, if the wife is unable to execute this process, the husband should carefully do so, and the faithful wife will share the result. Like Tukaram, his wife served him, she loved him, although there was some fighting in between, but from the heart she loved, and then she went back home, back to Godhead, even before Tukaram went. So wife is called Ardhangini, means half of all the religious duties or religiosity that is done by the husband is already credited to the wife. Wife automatically gets that. Ardhangini means a half part of all wealth, possessions, whether it is religious credits, that half is shared. If the wife is serving the husband, she automatically shares half of that. Like Kardamuni and Mother Devahuti. So Kardamuni was a devotee, Devahuti just served him. And ultimately she also went back to Krishna's abode. Kardamuni went to the forest for tapasya. But he gave a son like Kapil Dev, the personality of Godhead, and she got instruction from Kapil Dev, but ultimately she went back to Krishna's abode. So that is half of his body. The husband gives half his body to the wife, and the wife gives half of her body to her husband. In other words, a husband without a wife or a wife without a husband is incomplete. So any religious rituals that must be executed by husband and wife together. It's not done alone that, oh, let me be a devotee. Both are there in any religious act. So, the duty, it is a big topic, but I will like to talk about the Patni Dharma also. That what is the duties of the wife and according to the Vedic principles. Fixed is the sky, fixed is the earth, fixed is the world, the universe, fixed are those mountains, fixed is this wife in her husband's house in the service of Vishnu and his devotees. So that is from Samveda that is given this. So Sati, that is means one who is a very chaste. According to the Vedic teaching, the foremost religious principle for a married woman is chastity to the husband. Women in Vedic culture are traditionally trained from childhood to become chaste wives. So that is the training. If the girl is changed from very beginning of that, then if they are taught to remain chaste, so that is the dharma. It is called sati dharma. Sati means chastity. Good population in the human society is the basic principle for peace, prosperity and spiritual progress. So Varnashram religious principles were so designed that good population would prevail in the society. So there, if there is a chaste woman, a chaste husband, or one who ek patni vrat and they are a devotee, then naturally there would be a good population. And good population means children would also become devotees. So if one degrades, then whole society becomes, like children are degraded and whole society becomes degraded. That's why to fear from the Varna Shankara, unwanted population, and Arjun did not wanted to fight. But that was the order of the Supreme Lord. That was his duty as a Kshatriya. So then Arjun did fight. But the main reason for his refusal was to prevent from unwanted children, and the society will fall down. So with the wife there is kam moksha dhara, means the dhara means a wife is also called dhara, because she withholds, she takes care of her husband. If there is a chaste wife, she can help the husband in these four principles of life. We discussed about that, dharma, artha, kam and moksha. Dha samprati hetuta. If the society can train girls to become nice wives, such wives become a great source of energy to their husband. To render service to the husband, so main duties are to render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed towards the husband, to be equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. These are the four principles to be followed by a woman described as chaste. So we talked about four duties of the husband, so there are four duties of the wife also, to serve the husband. That is the first thing. Since the eternal constitutional position of the spirit soul is to become a servant of God, there is a natural pleasure to be derived from service to others, especially to those who are near and dear. Service to the devotees of the Lord is dearer to him than direct service. So that is what Krishna is saying, that rather than worshipping me, worship my devotees. So husband should be accepted if he is a devotee, he is a devotee and he is served by the wife, then naturally it would be peacefulness and the Lord becomes very pleased. So by serving her husband, she satisfies the supreme personality of God. And one should not think that I am serving a man with flesh and why I should serve him. But it is Krishna likes that way, and it is service to Krishna himself by serving to a devoted husband. Husband represents the Lord as the object of worship for a woman. Just like Krishna eats by yagya. Yagya means fire sacrifice. Also by Krishna is worshipped, like if the brahmanas are fed. That is also like as if we are feeding to the devotee. Also if you read the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, that is also service to Krishna. If you chant, that is also service to Krishna. So the same way, if a devoted husband is treated as if he is a lord, then Krishna becomes more happier than serving him directly. And automatically the wife shares half of all the devotional credits that a man get. If women are attached, very much attached to their husband, worship their husband as a representative Vasudev, the woman benefits. So husband is still called Pati Guru. Means he is a guru also at the same time. If husband is a devotee, there is no need even to take initiation. It was in the olden days that husband was, because not only women were chaste, but man was also affectionate, and he would never see any another woman and give all the protection and everything. So she would accept the husband as the she would accept the husband as Krishna himself, the Lord and Master. So Krishna is very much pleased with his devotees, even if they are not on the topmost stage of devotional service. Even on the other lower stages of devotional service, one is transcendental and one continues with devotional life. He continues to be a deva or sura. In the Vedic culture, the husband is the supreme demigod for a woman. He is also a guru. Is regarded, and the wife is regarded by his as the God's representative. Children are taught to respect their parents as gurus or a God's representative. So that was the Vedic culture, and that should be, if Vedic culture we bring it back, like Srila Prabhupada wanted the Varnashram to be brought back, then all the society members would be happy, because everybody would do their duties to please the Supreme Lord. So that is also the duty of wife and husband, that if they are pleased, so in those society there was no divorce. They will serve each other and whatever is there, like Prabhupada's sister Pishima, she was a perfect Vaishnavi, but her husband was not. He was used to eat even fish. And his wife would cook fish and give it to him, but she would remain, she will clean the pot, she had separate pots and remain. Means I met her and that she looked very much like Srila Prabhupada, but that is the behavior in those days, that she did not reject her husband because he was a fish eater. Accepting her husband as the representative of the Supreme Person, a wife should worship him with unalloyed devotion by offering him prasad. The husband, being very pleased with his wife, should engage himself in the affairs of his family. Woman should be expert in cooking, that is her, rather that is their natural tendency. They should be educated how to cook nicely, how to please her husband, how to take care of the children. So these are the natural inclinations, and woman becomes very happy in that service. So she should learn that art of how to take care of children, how to take care of the husband, how to cook nicely, feed them nicely, keep the house very clean, keep the accounting. The husband gives all the money to the wife, and then it is the wife's duty to run the household life within the means of the husband. Not that she should spend extravaganza and then should demand, where is money, give me all that. And so that is not the way. Everybody is endowed with different energies, different capacity, different according to their previous karma. They may earn a limited amount. The wife assists like Sudama and his wife. So they were very, very poor Brahmanas, old cloths and tarna cloths, but she never demanded anything to her husband. Only when children were very much, she could not see her children suffering out of hunger and very, very thin. And so she asked just that you please go and see your friend. She knew in her heart that if her husband goes, Sudama Pandit goes to Krishna, then Krishna would do something. But she never demanded. So natural tendencies towards cooking and household management usually manifest themselves in a woman's due course of time. Cooking and eating becomes spiritually beneficial for both husband, because she cooks by loving eating in hotel and old food and frozen food, which are the tendencies nowadays, is not recommended for devotional life, or it is not conducive for devotional life. So they cook yagya kshista asyano santo muchyante sarva kilvishai munjante tetu agam papa ye pachyante atma karana. So they cook and offer to Krishna, and then everybody eats. And another is cleanliness is in the mode of goodness, and it gives a peace of mind. So woman always keeps the house clean. They wear the clean clothes, attractive garments, and she should clean the household with water and other liquids, so that entire house is fragrant, pure and clean. Collect the household paraphernalia and keep the house always aromatic with incense and flowers. A devotee is always a servant of God. Whatever service is required, as a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, does not matter. Means it should be provided, and wife helps in the duties of the husband. According to the Yajnavalkya instruction, a woman whose husband is always away from home, she should not take part in any social function. Not that she should go to parties or societies, or should not decorate her body, should not laugh, and should not go to any relative's house in any circumstance. This is the vow of the ladies whose husbands are away from home. At the same time, it is also enjoined that a wife should never present herself before the husband in an unclean state. She must decorate herself with ornaments and good dress, and should always be present before the husband in a happy and joyous mood. Padmavati, the wife of Kansa's father, Ugrasen, she used to go to her parents' house, even if her husband is not there, and decorate there in her house. And then, so one yaksha became very much attracted, because she was very beautiful, Kansa's mother. And so he like he became, he took the form of the Maharaj Ugrasen. Ugrasen and Devak, they were two brothers. So he came, and then because she was decorating, then naturally the tendency to unite with the husband was there. So she did not even see back and front at how my husband just couldn't come. He is a king. How he couldn't come without any notice? And she had relation with him, and the result was that the Kansa was born from them. Although they were all devotee family, but this is the result of not following the Vedic principles. And then another part of the woman, a chaste woman, should not be greedy, but satisfied in all circumstances. She must be very expert in handling household affairs and should be fully conversant with religious principles. A husband who is qualified to accept a service from a chaste wife. Fallen husband is one who is addicted to the four principles of sinful activity. One who is addicted, then naturally she should... Not that she should marry another person, but she should get a guru who could teach her. But otherwise, the natural way is the husband, if he is a devotee, he is a guru. That is according to all the Vedic principles. A woman is not obliged to serve husband who is addicted to the four sinful activities and is inimical towards Krishna. Remarriage for woman, however, is not endorsed in any Vedic culture. If her husband is fallen, it is recommended that she gives up his association. Giving up association of her husband does not mean that a woman should marry again. Women are very prone to be misled. Women are similarly very prone to degradation. Therefore, both children and women require protection by the elder members of the family. The wife is dependent on the husband, and if the husband is a Vaishnava, then naturally she shares the devotional service of the husband because she renders him service. This reciprocation of service and love between husband and wife is the ideal of a household life. A chaste woman brings their gentle husband under control by her service, not by rebuking, not by discussing, not by shouting, but the husband is under control by her service attitude. Draupadi, like Satya, and it's a very nice instruction in Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam that Satyabhama questioned Draupadi that how you keep your husbands under your control and they are ready to serve in a whatever way, do you have any magic? And she really says that why I would put my magic fit on my husbands. But she did all the womanhood, and she instructed all the queens of Dwarka and that how to serve the husband properly. A woman cannot have many husbands, although a husband can have many wives. Now, there are certain, like Draupadi, for instance, was married to all the five Pandavas. Similarly, all the sons of Prachin Bharisat, like there were Prachin Bharisat, I think 100 sons, 10 sons, and they were married to one girl born of the great sage Kandu and Pramlocha. They were also Prachin Bharisat sons, Prachetas. They were married to only one woman. So there are certain, but it is a special cases. In special cases, a girl is allowed to marry more than one man, provided she is able to treat her husbands equally. This is not possible for an ordinary woman. Draupadi and this wife of Prachetas, they were something special case. So they were specially qualified. So it's a big discussion between Draupadi and all the queens, including Satyabhama. So I would not go through the detail, but like Chavan Muni, he was very, very irritable man. And then Sukanya got him as her husband, because what happened, Sukanya was curious. There was a bomb, like a Bambi. Bambi means it is the body of Chavandrishi was covered by ants. Ant hill was there, and she could see only two eyes. So she thought, out of curiosity, she took a thorn and poked it, and then the blood came. And this all the soldiers now, because of this, the Chavandrishi became agitated. He became angry, and all the soldiers could not pass urine or stool, and they were in big distress. So then somehow he found out that this has happened because of my daughter's offense to Chavandrishi, and then Chavandrishi became pleased when he was told that I will offer my daughter Sukanya to Chavand Rishi. And in this way, she served her husband very, very faithfully. And later on, the Chavand Rishi, the Chavand Prash name came from there, that he, to please her wife, he became very young again, and then his wife was pleased. A great woman may be, she must place herself before her husband in a very, very humble way. Real heart victory for a married woman is achieved not by combat, not by fighting, not by worldly discussion, but by the humility and the service. So humility is the shining ornament of devotee of the Lord and chaste wives. Parvati Devi gave up all material possessions to engage in the humble service of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, Bhavani or Parvati, daughter of the king of Himalayas, means she was like a prince. But there was no even house of Lord Shiva. And he was just having no, usually just remain almost just like a, just a lion cloth, but almost naked. And his wife also gave up all these things. But she served like a very poor woman to her husband, Lord Shiva. Same thing, Devuti. She was also a daughter of the emperor Swayambhu Manu. He was ruling for so many, 72 Chaturyugas. And he was ruling just for one planet, but all the planetary system. That is Manu, but still she served him very, very nicely. And then her husband reciprocated by giving her all the comforts. They were in an aeroplane. That was, whole city was aeroplane, and there were 1,000 servants that they took care of this mother Devuti. So the woman who engages in the service of her husband, following strictly in the footsteps of the goddess of fortune, surely returns home back to Godhead with her devotee husband and lives very happily. So another example of chaste woman is Lakshmi Devi. Not only Draupadi, there are five women are very much worshipped. Even Mandodari was a wife of a Ravan, but she also is a very chaste woman. Draupadi, Sita, Mandodari, Savitri, Damayanti, Nal and Damayanti. So those are highly chaste women. Like Nal, Damayanti may not be very much devoted, but it's nonetheless, in chastity, their name is there. I remember one story that one woman, her husband had a leprosy, and then because of the leprosy, and so much pus was oozing, but he desired to enjoy with a prostitute. So the wife went to serve that prostitute because they were poor, and then she made him her pleas that, okay, at least let my husband enjoy you just for one night. And then she allowed that, and she was carrying him because he could not walk, carrying him on the shoulder. But what happened when she was going, it was night time that others may not see. So 60,000 Balkhilya rishis were hanging upside down on a banyan tree. So she touched or moved one of the things, then Balkhilya rishis curse that this man who touched us with his dirty purse and all this would not see the next morning sun. So she went, she heard that curse by the Balkhilya rishis, and he had to do, he went to that prostitute, and then she did my husband. So she was so much chaste that if I'm a chaste woman and if I love my husband, then let there not be any son come out. So son could not come. The next morning, so anyway, all the demigods came and they met least this Balkhilya rishis, and in that way the sun could come by the prayers of the demigods, and they healed him and they made him very, very handsome to that man. So these are all different examples that how they used to serve. So Queen Archi, there was Archi and Prathu and Archi, that they were Archana Padati is because of that. So Kunti Devi also was very, very humbly submits. You are meant for the Paramhansas and Munis, those who are cleansed in their heart and are engaged in the bhakti yoga. But what are we? Means we are simply woman. We are in a lower class. How can we understand you? Although it is in our humility. So humility is another quality. The wives of the demigod said, all glories to Queen Archi. We can see this, that the queen of the great king Prathu, the emperor of the, all the kings of the world, has served her husband with mind, speech and body, exactly as the goddess of fortune serves the supreme personality of Godhead, Yagyesh or Vishnu. So we talked about Chavan Muni, that is another thing, that she should win, the woman should win the favor of the husband, to be always favorably disposed towards the husband. A chaste woman considers her husband's happiness before her own and serves him with love and respect. Being ready to execute the desires of her husband, being modest and truthful, controlling her senses and speaking in sweet words, a chaste woman should engage in the service of her husband with love, according to the time and circumstances. Then she develops all the good qualities if she serves in this way. Abdat Gods, yes, Shasti Bhaktir, Bhagavat Akanchina, Sarver Gunestatra, Samasate Sura, Harav Abhaktisha Kurtu Madguna, Manorathena, Dhavatusa, Bahihi. So she also develops all the qualities of a demigods. Where fools are never respected, grain is well stored, and where the husband and wife do not quarrel, there of her own volition resides Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. So Lakshmi resides where the peaceful family atmosphere is there, and there is no quarrel. As soon as there is no quarrel between the husband and the wife, the home will become will be very happy. And as soon as there is submission and misunderstanding between husband and wife, it will be hell. So the principle is that the husband honestly tries to earn a livelihood, and at the home the wife should be so intelligent that whatever money the husband has earned, she will manage with that. She will not demand, bring money. That is the Srila Prabhupada is writing, or he is telling in a conversation in Detroit. The best course for a woman is to abide by the orders of her husband. That makes family life very peaceful. O Vidur, Devuti served her husband with intimacy and great respect, with control of the senses. We hear that there was one woman, she served for 50 years to her husband, who was a writer. He was writing Bhamini. He was writing a book, and only that she will clean the lamp or give some light, put some food, he will just eat, and they never knew that he is even married. So one time there was some dirt came on top of the lamp, and so the lamp was, so she had to turn off the lamp, and her attention was gone, and she was standing there. So he said, "Who are you?" So anyway, she replied that, I'm your servant, I'm your wife, we are married for 50 years. And he was very much ashamed that he did not even know, because he was so much meditation in writing the book, which was very famous, and at the end he gave the name of that book, Bhamini. He just gave that it is for her, to her name, that he made it famous. So in that way, there are many histories in the wife, that what is the duty, how they remain chaste, how they serve the husband, and how the husband respects the wife as the Devi, and what are the duties. So we did discuss these four principles of each of them. As conditioned soul in the material world, our tendency is to rebel against the God, and we do not like to surrender to Him. However, the secret of our real happiness and peace lies in surrender. Similarly, for those of us who are conditioned soul in female bodies, while we do not like to submit to our husband, when we take a humble position and give priority to them, we naturally feel happier and more peaceful. Like we surrender to Krishna, we become happy. Same thing if the woman surrenders to the husband, although it is very difficult in the current age when everybody is equal, but then the fighting and other things, then the peacefulness just goes away from both. So the wife also encourages the husband. There are many instances that Kshatriyas, that they could not do their wars and win. So by the woman's encouragement, they do all these things. As far as the woman class are concerned, they are accepted as a power of inspiration for men. As such, women are more powerful than men. Mighty Julius Caesar was controlled by Cleopatra. And she should respect, that is her fourth duty, is to favor the husband's relatives and friends. She should not, so when she comes, then all other relatives, they also become family members of the wife. Not that I live in a nuclear family or do not respect the mother and father or brothers of the husband. They also should become her parents. And the vows of the husband, that is another duty, like Rishabhdev is telling, the four sinful activities are illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. These are the means by which one gets another material body that is full of miseries. And so that is also in Patni Dharma, that she protects the husband from fall down. So initiation, as we talked, that husband is the first spiritual master. But if his husband is not a devotee, then she could get initiated. The wife is expected to be the same category as the husband. She must be prepared to follow the principles of the husband, and then there will be a happy life. A woman does not need to attain high qualification. Means nowadays they all study and go because of fulfilling the need become too much. But if the woman remains in house, cooks nicely, takes care of the home, keeps it clean, respects her husband, take care of the children, then the whole society becomes very, very, very. They should read and study, but so that they could understand all the literature. And if there is a need, she studies, then she could help in the earning of the household. But it was not necessary in the Vedic culture because needs were very, very minimal. Now it is all topsy-turvy. And so Gandhari, she understood that her husband is Dhritarashtra, is blind. So she immediately practiced blindness herself, and she covered her eyes and played the part of a blind woman, although she was not a blind. Even if the husband is not a great devotee like Kardamuni, it is the wife's duty to adapt herself according to his mentality. Thus makes married life very happy. Gandhari was very powerful ascetic. Means she could make the body of Duryodhan as strong and would not be even hurt by thunderbolt. But by Krishna's arrangement, Duryodhan covered his lower portion and even the upper thighs. So Bhima killed him by hitting with his club in that lower portion, and that's why. Otherwise she could have made his body strong like more than even thunderbolt. So Ramchandra requested his wife, "Oh, you cannot go with me," means he was saying that you stay here when there was an exile for Lord Ramchandra. So but somehow or another, so she replied, "Oh, I am your wife, married wife. I must go even if you go to hell. I will go with hell with you because that is the duty. This is an ideal wife." She could not have refused. So he said that there is so much difficulty. You are king's daughter. You are brought up in such a nice way, and you are so beautiful. There would be rakshasas, but she nonetheless she did go. So by following the principles of chastity, woman developed supernatural powers. Just when Sita Devi was kidnapped by the Ravan, she was able to stop. The Ravan could not come. He had no capacity to come close to her because of her chastity. And she cursed Ravan that your whole dynasty will die, and that happened. So that was because of the Sita Devi's curse. So anyway, I told you this, how these four, Damayanti, Savitri, Draupadi, Mandodari, Sita, and how she acted when the Ravana would come and Sita Devi showed by her example. we should always remember, as it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, that both the gross and subtle material bodies are dresses. So it, we should not think that she is a woman, I am a husband. Means the man should not think, the wife should not think, because we are all eternal souls. We are not the body. So body designation is a designation, saying that I am a man or woman. Although behavior, while we are in this dress of the man or woman, we behave, but otherwise both are devotees, both are spark, both are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. A husband and wife are a spiritual team. A faithful wife who helps her husband to make a spiritual advancement by serving, assisting, encouraging him, shares the benefit of his advancement and progress along with him. Anyone, whether man or woman, who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord and serves his devotees becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. So, O son of Pratha, Mami, those who take shelter in me, though they may be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, Shudras, can attain the supreme destination. So thank you so much. If you could unmute, then we can discuss. So we discuss about, in this example, Yajna and his wife Dakshina, they got married and they were living with the principles that each other lived, each other served. He protected, and there were 12 children. She took care of the household life, and they were happy. And it was supreme personality of Godhead, but that same principles could be adopted. Lord Ramchandra was Maryada Purushottam, so he showed us how to live. What is the relation between wife and husband, brother and brothers? So they all acted in a way that we could follow. Krishna's life is completely different. He acted independently as the Supreme Lord, but Lord Ramchandra was Maryada Purushottam, and one can follow in the footsteps of Lord Ramchandra, and that was his main purpose of coming and taking that way. That how he ideal son, how ideal king, ideal brother. So he all showed all this life, how to be ideal like a guru, that he served his guru by his heart, and how he acted in that way. Versus Muni and Vishwamitra also he served.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much once again for a very knowledgeable lecture. I just want to share one thing. You know, as you mentioned that the Shatrupa and the Manu, they came from the body of Brahma, so they married, they had children. So it's not same as at the current age, at the current situation, that it was a, you know, inbreeding or incest. The way I understand it, all these, the personality that manifested, even Brahma, and Brahma is not only a mechanical engineer, he is also a genetic engineer. So all these, that the 10 children and sons and one daughter that appeared, they were all genetically different. And that's how even the Prajapatis, when they propagated different kind of species, because they could genetically engineer new bodies. And that's why we have so many variety. We have, you know, black people, white people, even yellow, the Chinese and other things. But that can be explained only when different kind of genetic material was created. If we follow the theory of just one Adam and Eve, actually Eve came from a rib of Adam, then we cannot explain so much of different species and different kind of, characteristics of even in the same species. So that is something very wonderful from the Bhagavatam, you know, from our scriptures, the creation of living entities. And even not only the human beings, the Prajapatis even propagated the other species like animals, birds, and plants. So I just wanted to share whatever I had thought. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, are you there?
I think Prabhuji is not connected from last 10 minutes, Shyama Gauri.
No, I heard him for till like 1 minute till before I spoke. So he was connected.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandvat Pranam, all good Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Prabhuji, it's work in day-to-day life. Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam for today Bhagavatam class. Hari Hari Bol, all good Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, we can hear you now.
Okay, Hare Krishna. So I finished with that, what are the different duties of wife and husband, and if there are any questions we can discuss. I'm sorry that that got disconnected. Better way would be that if I'm called here, then the connection is much more better. Rather than I call, then there may not be any some way that I get disconnected. But anyway, if there are any questions or comments, and next time I will have a reverse way that you could call and make me join, and then it would be much easier and nicer.
So, Prabhu, I just made a little comment, and I want your expert opinion on that. You know, like you mentioned that when the Manu and Shatrupa and, you know, other sons of Brahma were manifested, it was not an inbreeding or incest. And it was loved. So the way I look at it is that when Brahma created these 10 sons and one daughter, they were all genetically different because Brahma is also a genetic engineer. But they didn't look same and they were not produced by a union of a man and woman. So they were created genetically different. That's why we have so many different species. Even in human beings, we have blacks, whites, yellow, you know, so many races. If you take the theory of Adam and Eve, everybody came from Adam and Eve. Actually, Eve also came from Adam, from one of his ribs. Then you cannot explain so much of genetical variance or, you know, variegated appearance of so many colors or forms within the same species. And Prajapatis also were genetical engineers because they also created different species of birds and animals and even plants. So that is my little understanding based on, you know, science and scriptures. So this explanation actually is much more superior to any other explanation for origin of living bodies and different kind of living bodies. And so that's what I just shared. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay. Okay, Hare Krishna. So, Prabhu, I could give my understanding or by reading Vedic scriptures, only and few Prajapatis were given the potency by the Lord to create, like Kashyap Muni. He had Sarpas, or Kadru, and Vinita, and had Garudji is also son of Vinita and Kashyap Muni, and Kadru had all the snakes were born, and so there were that way, but that is not. But once Manu and Shatrupa are they came, then since then it is only by the help of the husband, and no woman could become pregnant without the help of a man. So there has to be a union between man and woman after this Manu and Shatrupa, and then only it is progeny happened. But in the beginning that was a need, that was necessity. And so when all the animals, so everyone is created by the Lord and his children, that was the potency of the Lord. But later on, all the species of life comes by union between male and female. So that is the arrangement. So there is nothing of this genetics and all this. We did not bring the genetics. Krishna gave all the genetics to different species. And then now it is in the form of man and woman. They should combine together to get a baby. One cannot imagine that now there is no combination. So they could have a woman cannot have a child without her husband. So both are needed.
Yeah, so that's what exactly I said.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. In that time, you know, when the Manus and the sons of Brahma were created, there was no union between man and woman because there was a special.
He could create
creation.
By mind, but that is.
Right.
That is
right.
You are right. Perfectly right.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat, all the Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev. Thank you very much for wonderful class. It's helped to our day-to-day life and we learned so many things, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Again, Koti Koti Pranam to your Sabhi.
My Koti Koti Pranam to you that you have given me your association, and because of you that I could read Srila Prabhupada's letters that he was quoting in different places and certain from my memory with the scriptures like Lakshmi Devi, Sita Devi, and different like Devahuti and Kardamuni, that is all by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very, very highly elevated. It is this Krishna's incarnation, incarnated as Srimad Bhagavatam. So just that gives me little pleasure to associate with scripture, read that, and then to narrate that also, that's a pleasure also. So thank you for engaging me in that way, association with Bhagavatam and person Bhagavatam like yourself.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. I have a small question. So my thinking was that everything started from Manu. So, you know, Manu's daughter, Devahuti, and everyone came. But at the same time, I'm hearing that propagation of races happened from Devahuti and everyone else. But I'm hearing is that Devahuti had a palace where thousands of servants were serving. So, you know, at what point of time those servants were created, or, you know, I'm confused on that. Could you explain, please, Harish?
No. When this Kardamuni saw his wife very lean and thin and disheveled, and naturally as a woman she wanted to have association and children, and also Kardamuni remembered that Lord Brahma gave him that your son would be the supreme personality of Godhead to get a son, and it is the duty of the husband to give children to the wife. So she naturally, her inclination was to united with her husband, and she was a princess, or she was daughter of a king, Swayambhu Manu. So according to her position, prestige, then she by his own, so that was after many, many years of their marriage. Then he created a whole spaceship, like whole big city as a floating garden, and so many lakes and so many palaces and so much food and 1,000 girls, very, very beautiful girls. But they could be created by devotees like Kardamuni. That is by energy of Krishna. Because they are devotees, then they get the energy like, say, Nar Narayan Rishis. Then some Indra sent some apsaras to, so they could not meditate. But then when they came, many apsaras they came, then Narayan Rishi just by his, from his ears or from his mind, he created so many. So Urvashi was one of them. They said that, why you want to bewilder me with your beauty? Just take this one who is the much more, many, many times beautiful than you. So they became very much ashamed, and then they took Urvashi with them and left and gave it to Indra. So there are ways that one, but that is by empowerment of the Supreme Lord. He could create anything from anywhere, from anything. But we people don't have that kind of capacity here. So that was created, I cannot say how many years, maybe 100 years, 200. In that, at that time, let us talk of the Satyug. People used to live for 100,000 years. So she might have been serving him for 1,000 years. And then when he saw one day, because he was always meditating. He was always in trance, meditating on the Lord, remembering the Lord and His glorification. But one day he saw her, and then she looked. So she was always serving. That was her mood of service. But she knew the mind, and then she remembered the boon that now let the Supreme Personality of God had come, and He gave her the knowledge that of the Sankhya Yoga, and then she became free. Her body just melted and like became a part of the Saraswati River. So time period, yes, it was after many years, it is a matter of Satyuga, and then they produced 9 daughters and then 1 son. And after that son, then he left again for doing tapasya.
Okay, thank you, Guruji Hare Krishna. So one question that comes to my mind then is, so you mentioned that these powerful Munis could create a human being from their mind. So without the union of man and a woman. So isn't that? I don't know how to understand that. Is that we mentioned earlier, a little bit earlier, saying that every creation has to happen through a man and a woman union. So how do I understand that, Hare Krishna?
Mm-hmm. No, they did not produce children. They were just came, just like a Kamdhenu or Surabhi cow. There was this Vasishtha Muni, and he had a cow. And then the king, Sahasrabahu, he wanted to just take it because he could produce even the food and all the houses and everything, whatever was needed to respect a king with his so much big army. And the cow produced all that. And when he saw that these things should belong to the king, so Sahasrarjun, he had 1,000 arms, and he wanted to take the cow away. But those are the temporary, not that they were progenitor after progenitor. It's not like that. So when this Apsara, it's not a progenation, it's just the power of the Lord. He could create anything, so the devotees also get that power. But we should not get confused that anybody can produce any children. Those are special cases sanctioned by the Lord, and they are not children, they are just produced out of nothing. There is nothing but God, Lord can create. So He empowers these devotees to create, like a spaceship we have never seen, but it's such a big, it's not like a big city with so many lakes and trees and gardens and people and all the facilities, but it is not for all the time, it is just for that particular time. That is the Lord's arrangement for His devotees. But otherwise, in ordinary course, nobody can produce any child without the help of a husband. Both has to be there, husband and wife. In some abnormal cases, you may say a male may have an OP in his body and also the sperm. Those are abnormal cases. These are like that this has happened. Male belly may have, or they change their sex also, the male becomes female and female becomes a male, and somehow when a male becomes female, and then they could still have some sperm and could impregnate himself within himself body, and but that is abnormalities, that is not a normal way.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
You're welcome. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavatam. Very, very nice class, Prabhuji, and like very nice duties of husband and wife. You know, we are all Grihasthas and we always need guidance from the elderly person like you about the Grihastha life, how to live our life in Krishna consciousness. So thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Thank you. That is a piece. If we could adopt that Vedic principles that has been adopted by personalities like Lord Ram and Sita and Nal and Damayanti, and how much they loved each other, then we could really make the atmosphere very nice. But nowadays we are so topsy-turvy and so much we are gone away. So whatever remnants of Vedic culture is there, if you could follow, it could just make a good, like people want like Ram Rajya. But they have to follow all these principles. Between wife and husband, between king and praja, and between the brothers, and they all have to have those qualities. But it could be developed. If the king is a like Lord Ram, then he could still create Ram Rajya. But the kings are selfish, and they are not really, they do not know the Vedic principles. Srila Prabhupada wanted the king, or at least the president, to be a devotee. He tried that. Ram Rajya, he had some... No, in God we trust. So he made Congress and this and that, and he made in God we trust a city. But they could not win. He thought that by winning as a mayor and then going higher and going to the state and going to the, becoming the all the way to the president, but he tried that anyway, because it was his goal that if king or the ruler is a devotee, then the praja would follow and many, many people would be able to go back to Prajabodh by following Yadyad Acharati Sreshtra Tatta Devata Rojana. So Yad Pramanam Kurute Lokas Tadanu Vartat Tadanu Vartate. Then all the other people they follow. So it's a So one should try, because within a bad atmosphere we could try as much as we can, and that's for our benefit and the benefit of the society at large. Because you could give example to others also.
Yeah. Prabhuji, sometimes you know wife is following Krishna consciousness and husband is not following Krishna consciousness. A wife is always anxiety that when my husband will become Krishna conscious. So sometimes, you know, it's very difficult for wife to follow Krishna consciousness, you know, because of the husband is not fully Krishna conscious. So,
both are in. Yeah, go ahead. So we are all like individuals, and by Krishna's arrangement we have come together between wife and husband. So both should do their duties. If somebody is not doing, does not mean that the person who is in knowledge should not do his duty, his or her duty. So they engage in their duty and let us depend on the result up to Krishna. We could pray to the Supreme Lord, please correct my husband's mentality, let him become a devotee. We could pray, but if one doesn't become, you should not leave your duty to the family, your duty to Krishna, your service, but you have to accept some guru to help you. So husband would not be a guru if he does not follow the principles, if he's a meat eater, but on those cases where the husband is a devotee of the Lord, who follows the four regulative principles, who eats only Krishna Prasad, and who chants the 16 rounds, who is initiated, then a woman does not need a guru. That's what is according to Shastric injunction.
Ladies, they do all the things and they chant 16 rounds and it goes up to that point, but when it means the question of taking initiation, they have to take permission from the husband, and sometimes, you know, husband doesn't give the permission. It's like some kind of confusion comes up. So it goes like years and years, and getting initiated gets difficult.
So whatever is the rules one has to follow, so if you have to take husband's permission, permission. You have to take, temple president's permission, then you have to take. So that is the norms for our society, ISKCON. Some gurus takes 5 years to give initiation, some gurus may give in 6 months. Many devotees came to Srila Prabhupada and he initiated them right away even the first time they met. So that's up to the guru and the disciple together.
Hare Krishna, Pranam. Sorry, I take only 2 minutes. Also Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Prabhuji, the question Shyamagauri wants to say that sometimes Prabhuji is not devotee and the Mataji has to suffer not 1-2 years but 19-18 years, and we have to pass so many difficulties like not allowed yatra, throw out our bid bag in a toilet, and not allowed to go temple and sevas. And I have learned one lesson, Prabhuji, that after eating Mahaprasad and whole day we have to hear Bhagavatam. It's going on in our house, and after 19 or 20 years, the Sri Radha Gopinath changed the atmosphere and they start temple. Yes, they are not chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but some Swaminarayan mantra, Jai Hanumanji, whatever it is, but they are so favorable to us, allowed in yatra, allowed in all the class in our house. So this is the mercy of Sri Radha Gopinath. For that, we have to chant very attentively. This is our taste, Prabhu.
Okay. Yeah, I could not hear the question very clearly, but thank you for explaining it.
Okay. The question is that...
Yes, what did he say? Hare Krishna.
That was very nice of Mataji, like, you know, she was very patient, and she was still, following Krishna consciousness, even though so many difficulties in her life. So, thank you very much, Mataji, for sharing your experience.
Prabhuji, my question is that, why Mataji has to suffer so much? Why there is so many exams? Every day there is a new exam, every day there is a new challenge. We have to stay together because we learn from childhood from our parents that we have to stay together for our kids.
Now, see, according to our karma, we come together. Whether it is a children, whether it is husband or wife, or it is all because of the karmic arrangement. There must be something in the past lives. So that's why it is also according to our destiny that you get a certain husband, certain wife, and they may not be fully Krishna conscious as you want. But that is the way that we have done. So at least for that life, we have to remain ourselves very truthful and serve, whether one is a devotee or not. Like I give the example of Pishima and her husband, who was a meat eater and who was not a devotee. But she was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, and she followed her duties, and then Krishna becomes very happy by following the duties. You may say he is not a devotee, or husband is not a devotee, or refusing, or creating so many problems, but even in the mind you could not go to any holy dham or any kathas or anything, but even in the mind you could think of Krishna, and Krishna becomes happy by following your duties. But if it comes to such an extent that one cannot tolerate, then one can reject also what can be done. It is Kali Yuga, you cannot correct everybody, but first you must try, you must pray, give prasad, have some counseling with some senior devotees, and still if you cannot change the situation and it is intolerable for a woman, then the course is that. But Prabhupada does not recommend, or Vedic literature does not recommend a remarriage for a woman. You may say why it is so, how she could be, then if she has some son, he could protect, or one should join. Means I saw some letters of Prabhupada that they should go to some temple where there is, that they are supported, they could serve the deities and serve the temple in a very humble way, and they would be protected by the authorities. So you have to find a place where there is where they are protected. So protection is the main thing that they should seek, and they should not be unprotected. take shelter with a son, take shelter with some other relatives, or go to a temple and stay and do serve there. And but if it is intolerable, you can be out of the situation. Only in those rare cases, after you have tried everything, prayed to the Lord, chanted for Him, gave Him prasad, and after many, many years, if the situation does not change and you cannot continue your Krishna consciousness, then it's a better to give up. But it's in rare instances that should be made, should not be made as a regular thing. Oh, little bit I'm disturbed, let me just give up. Let me get divorced. Let me be separated. And then let me get married and you again get entangled. So that is not the way. But the recommendation of the Vedic literature is that one should try their best to correct the situation, and ultimately if that is the case, then you remain in a temple and continue your service where it is more peaceful. But not to get married, that is the instruction. But nowadays, to get a protection in the temple and also become like in women's ashrams and in Vrindavan, and there is also exploitation. So what can be done in that case? As an emergency, yes. Then if there is a devotee man, then it can be rearranged. But that is a very, very rare. We cannot make it a common practice. It is a very, very rare instance that woman can get remarried. In Kali Yuga, it is difficult for a woman to live alone or even under the shelter of a temple. Then other things may have to be done, which is, so you have to be practical to continue Krishna consciousness.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Dandavat.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, anybody else have any question or comments for Prabhuji?
Since nobody has here, they are already gone. It's a lot of time for one month.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very nice class. So many purports you read about on this topic, and gave us your practical guidance as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming and giving me your wonderful association. Thank you for hearing and staying for almost 2 hours on this conference call, and also on your jap were there before that. So it's a long stretch. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is your obeisances to Prabhuji, Mancha Kansaru, Keshya, Supasindu, Shivya.